This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا حَضَرَ الْقِسْمَةَ أُولُو الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَإِذَا and when? حَضَرَ الْقِسْمَةَ are present at the division. Who is present at the division? أُولُو الْقُرْبَى, close relatives, وَالْيَتَامَى and the orphans, وَالْمَسَاكِينَ and the persons in need. When they are present at the division of the inheritance, then what should you do, O heirs? فَرْزُقُوهُمْ مِنْهُ, then provide them something from the estate. وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا, and say to them an appropriate word, words of appropriate kindness. Very few people follow this ayah. Very, very few people follow this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here that when relatives, orphans, people in need are present at the time when the estate is being divided, and these relatives and orphans and people in need don't have a legal share in that estate, they don't have a nasib in that estate, then what should you do? Leave them drooling? No. فَرْزُقُوهُمْ مِنْهُ, you are allowed to give them something from the estate. And you can decide to give them something from your share. And if not that, وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا, speak to them words of appropriate kindness. And you say something nice to them to help them feel better. Now, وَإِذَا حَضَرَ الْقِسْمَةَ, حَضَرَ from حَضَرَ, to be present at. الْقِسْمَ, قِسْمَ from قَافْ سِينْ مِيمْ, division. And here, this is referring to the division of the mal, the mirath, the estate, the inheritance, the property left behind by the deceased. That is being divided among the heirs. And imagine it has all been gathered together and the closest heirs are present in order to divide the estate among themselves and take their shares. And in attendance are also some ulul qurba wal yatama wal masakin. Now notice it has been said ulul qurba, not aqrabun. Aqrabun are closest relatives. Ulul qurba are who? Close relatives. Okay? So ulul qurba means over here that even though they are close relatives, they do not have a share in the inheritance. Okay? They do not have a share in that particular inheritance. Because the closest relatives are there, so they get everything. So for example, I mentioned to you, imagine a woman dies leaving behind children and grandchildren. Okay? Now what's happening over here? The children, the sons and the daughters, they have a share in the inheritance here. Grandchildren will not get anything. So grandchildren are who now? Ulul qurba. Now they're just standing there watching. Are you just going to let them stand and watch? No, give them something. Likewise, al-yatama, there are some orphans. Okay, maybe orphans that were being looked after by the deceased. All right? Any the deceased used to look after these orphan children. Or for example, or masakin, there are some other people in need. Maybe a friend or maybe a poor person comes in order to, you know, ask for some charity, and they see that, oh, the whole house is being emptied. All of this wealth is being divided among people. So they have come with some eagerness that maybe they will get something. So the heirs are being addressed over here that farzuquhum minhu, provide them from it. Provide who? The relatives, the orphans, the persons in need. Provide them from what? From it, minhu. It refers to ma taraka, what is left behind by the deceased, the estate, right? Now, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing over here? Farzuquhum, give them, provide them. Who can give from the estate? It is the heirs, right? Because they are in a position to give. They are ahlul ata'. They are able to give because the property belongs to them, and they have, if they are people who have aql and bulugh, and they're adults and they are sane, so they're able to consent, then they can give something, right? And this means that children cannot give, nor can anything be given from the share of the children, because children cannot give informed consent, right? Now question, why should they give? So that those who are watching and have no legal share do not feel jealous. They do not feel left out. They do not feel upset. And instead, they feel happy with what they have been given. You know, for example, the daughter-in-law or the son-in-law, they don't have a share in what has been left behind by the mother-in-law or the father-in-law, but still, فَرْزُقُوهُمْ مِنْهُ. Give them something from it. The granddaughter does not have. Maybe a distant cousin is there. Maybe some other friend is there, right? They don't have a legal share, but give them something. And you know, sometimes it is not the things themselves that people, it's not that people are in need of taking something. It is the sentimental value of things because of which they would like to take something. They are also grieving the loss of the deceased. And just because they do not have a legal share in the inheritance, it doesn't mean that you just send them away empty-handed. Our deen is so beautiful. It teaches us to mend the brokenness of people, especially when things are irreversible. So for example, if a woman is divorced, of course, her heart is broken, right? She's heartbroken. And the man does not want to keep her for whatever reason. So she cannot go back to that marriage. So how to help mend her heart? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells in Surah Al-Baqarah that وَلِلْمُطَلَّقَاتِ مَتَاعٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. For all divorced women is a provision according to what is acceptable, حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُتَّقِينَ, a duty upon the righteous. Meaning it doesn't matter whether you divorced her after one day, after 10 days, after 1 year, after 5 years, whether you don't like her anymore, whether you think that you guys are not compatible, whether you spent a lot on her, you gave her mahar, or you did not, you consummated the marriage, or you did not, it doesn't matter. The fact that you divorced her means that you have to give her something when you are sending her away. Talaq is not evil, right? The man is not doing anything haram by divorcing her. He's doing something that is completely permissible. But you cannot ignore the fact that it is painful for the woman. So show some care, some regard towards that pain, and give her a parting gift. Likewise, some relative, all right, who is present, who is watching the estate being divided, does not have a share in that estate. All right, yes, that is facts, that's true. But you do not have to be cut and dry about it. You can give them something. فَرْزُقُوهُمْ مِنْهُ. From it, any something. It could be a dish. It could be a pillow. It could be a bed sheet set. It could be a chair. And if, you know, there's a lot of money, it could be some money even. The deceased has died. You cannot bring them back. So at least send the relative away with something that they can cherish. Right? And give the yatim something so that he also feels happy. She also feels happy. Give the miskeen something. Now this command, فَرْزُقُوهُمْ مِنْهُ, this is amr of istihbab. Yani this is recommended. It is preferable to do this, to give something to the non-heirs who are present, to the orphans, to the needy who are present. This is not an obligation. It is just recommended. Some ulama say that this ayah, ayah number 8, is actually abrogated by the ayat of mawarith. Which ones are the ayat of mawarith? Verses 11, 12, and 176 of Surah An-Nisa. Okay? So they say that this ayah has been abrogated because the shares have been appointed, and, you know, when you have a fifth and a third and a half and an eighth, you know, these are very fixed shares. So you're taking these portions out of 100%. And that means that there's no room for, you know, a 1% that is going to be given to a non-relative or something like that. So they say that the shares are fixed, this ayah is abrogated. But others say that no, it is not abrogated. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَصِيبَ مَفْرُوضًا. And then He says, give to the close relatives who are present. And like I said earlier, who can give? The Ahlul Ata, those who are in a position to give. Who are heirs, all right, who have a right over the estate, and who can make the decision to give on account of their sanity and their age. And like I said, children cannot give, and something cannot be given from their portion either. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَرْزُقُوهُمْ مِنْهُ وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. And say to them, قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا, an acceptable word, any a kind word, an appropriate word, something nice, say that to them. Now this means two things. First, it means give them something and say something nice. Both. Give them something and say something nice. Don't just give something and then give a nasty remark and then remind them of the favor. Okay? And say something like, okay, please take this and go away now. Please take this and leave us alone now. Please take this and don't ask me for more now. This is not qawla ma'rufa. No, فارزقوهم منه وقولوا لهم قولا معروفا. Say something nice, such as بارك الله فيكم. Right? Pardon us for any shortcoming. I wish I could give you more. Right? Say something nice. And in the case where you're not able to give anything, so for instance, the estate is very limited, okay? The heirs are many, which means that each heir's portion is going to be very small, then say something nice at least, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Isra, ayah number 26-28, وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَ حَقَّهُ. Give to the relative his right. والمسكين وابن السبيل. And also give his right to, any, give the needy and the traveler his right. وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا. And do not be extravagant. And then in ayah 28, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِمَّا تُعْرِضَنَّ عَنْهُمْ. If you must turn away from them. From who? From giving to your relative or to those in need or to the traveler. You're not able to give. You must turn away from them. اِبْتِغَاءَ رَحْمَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكَ تَرْجُوهَا. Awaiting mercy from your Lord, which you expect. And you say that right now I cannot give. Maybe later on I can give. فَقُلْ لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَيْسُورًا. Then speak to them a gentle word. If you cannot give right now, then at least say a gentle word. So replace the ata with a good word in that case. So you can say something like, I'm so sorry, I wish I could give you something, my dear. I'm so sorry, right now I do not have much, but I hope that soon we can figure something out. I love you, I care for you, I wish I could give you. Replace the ata with a good word. Why? Because the benefit of a good word is that, subhanAllah, it can do more good than a material thing that you could give them. For example, at one occasion, we learned that the Prophet ﷺ distributed some property among the people, and there were some people whom the Prophet ﷺ did not give anything to. But then the Prophet ﷺ said something. He said, I give to some people lest they should deviate from true faith or lose patience. And I refer other people to the goodness and contentment which Allah has put in their hearts. Meaning there are some people whom, if I don't give to, I know that they will become very impatient and their faith will become very weak. And there are other people whom I know they have contentment in their hearts, they have iman in their hearts, they have a lot of good that Allah has put in their hearts, and I know that if I don't give them something, they'll be okay. And the Prophet ﷺ said, and Amr ibn Taghlib is among them. Among the people whom, if I don't give them to, I know that they have goodness and contentment in their heart. So Amr ibn Taghlib said that this statement of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ is dearer to me than red camels. Allahu Akbar. This was qawlam ma'rufa, which the Prophet ﷺ said, which Amr ibn Taghlib liked so much that if he were to be given some property by the Prophet ﷺ, red camels, they wouldn't be as valuable to him as these words. So the Prophet ﷺ mended his broken heart with a good word. So this teaches us that we should repair people's feelings. And he do not let hurt feelings fester, because they ruin relationships. Sometimes what happens is that when we know that someone is hurt because of what we're not able to do for them, we're not able to give them, we don't talk about it. We pretend like there's no problem. That does not help. It actually further ruins the relationship. It's necessary that you address the issue, you communicate, and you repair with good words. We learn in a hadith, Ali radiallahu anhu reported that when they were leaving Mecca, the daughter of Hamza radiallahu anhu followed them. Okay? And his niece. And Ali radiallahu anhu was there, Zayd radiallahu anhu was there, and Ja'far radiallahu anhu, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of them were there. They were going together. And the daughter of Hamza radiallahu anhu came running after them, crying, oh uncle, oh uncle. And he don't leave me. So Ali radiallahu anhu took her by the hand and brought her to Fatima radiallahu anha, and said to her that this is your cousin, look after her. Yani, we're going to keep her, we're going to take care of her. When he said that to Fatima radiallahu anha, Zayd and Ja'far radiallahu anhu, they said that no, we get to keep her. She was calling us too. Ali radiallahu anhu said that no, I took her, she's the daughter of my paternal uncle. Ja'far radiallahu anhu said, no, she's the daughter of my paternal uncle too, and her maternal aunt is married to me, so my relationship is stronger. Like, you know, I should have more right to keep her. Zayd radiallahu anhu said that she's the daughter of my brother. Hamza was like my brother, so I get to keep her. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he decided among them that Ja'far radiallahu anhu should keep her. Why? Because his wife was the maternal aunt of her, and he said that the maternal aunt is like the mother. Now, you can imagine how Ali radiallahu anhu was feeling, and how Zayd radiallahu anhu was feeling. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned towards Ali radiallahu anhu and said, you are of me, and I am of you. And you were very close. And he said to Ja'far radiallahu anhu, you resemble me in appearance and in behavior, in khuluq. And then he said to Zayd radiallahu anhu, you are our brother and our freed slave. Subhanallah. He spoke to each person in such a good way, and by that he repaired their feelings. And this is so important. Just because something is haqq, just because something is, you know, just, it does not mean that it is going to be easy on people. People's feelings are still there. And if they're hurt, you have to mend them by either giving them some kind of gift, by offering an apology, by saying a good word, by visiting them. And you also have to see what would actually help a person feel better. There are some people who will not be satisfied unless they're given something. They don't want your words. They want your stuff. So give them something. On the other hand, another person could be such that they will not be happy until you talk to them. So give them good words, right? Like, for example, if they're wealthy, they do not care for things. They have no interest in things. They want your time. They want your attention. They want a good conversation. So pay regard to individual preferences and circumstances. So a very important lesson in this ayah is that when you have a legal right over something, don't become so greedy and self-obsessed that you do not care about those who do not have a legal right over it. Also care about their feelings and give them something. And especially when someone is expecting something from us, this is a general lesson outside of inheritance. When someone is expecting something from us, okay? You know, for example, you go with your brother, you buy ice cream with your own money. Your brother also has money, he didn't buy it. Does it mean you don't offer it at all? No, you should. If he says no, that's fine. But just because it's your money, you have all the right over it, it doesn't mean that you completely ignore the feelings of your brother. You could say something like, oh, he has more money than I do. He can buy it as well. Yes, true, he can. But right now, yes, he doesn't have a right over your ice cream, but you can offer it out of your generosity. And especially if the case is that he's expecting it from you, right? If you know that someone is eager to have what you have, then don't let them drool in greed. Give them what they're eager for. Why? Because this is dignified behavior. It shows that you have empathy. It shows that you have regard for people's feelings. And this is a general rule. Whether it is a human or an animal, a friend or a stranger, okay, a child or an adult, someone poor, if they are looking at what you have, like imagine you go to the grocery store and looking at the broccolis, and then there's one broccoli that, you know, you pick up, and there's another person there, and you see that their eyes are fixed on the broccoli that you picked up. Okay? You can offer it to them. You can. There's no harm. Ward off their eyes by giving them something. Okay? And also satisfy their wish by giving them what they're eager for. As long as it's halal for them, you know, don't leave them drooling. Okay? Very important thing. We learn in a hadith that Al-Miswar ibn Makhrama, he said that my father Makhrama said to me that I have come to know that some cloaks have come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he's distributing them. So take me to him. So Miswar took Makhrama to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but when they got there, he found that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his house. So Makhrama said to his son that call the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Miswar felt really bad, like, why should I call the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for you? The father said that, no, he's not a tyrant, he will come. So Al-Miswar called him And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out wearing a cloak made of very fine material, and it even had gold buttons on it. And he said, "Oh Makhrama, I kept this for you." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave it to him. He could have said to him that, "Oh, why are you being so greedy? These are things of the world. Why are you so eager for something that is not yours?" This is what we do, right? We shame people. And sometimes even children, if they want something that their sibling has, for instance, or that you have, we start shaming them. "Why are you being greedy? You should look at what you have." When a child is, for example, staring at the ice cream that you're eating, let them have some of it. If they're staring at the computer that you're using, let them have a turn off, you know, typing something. Even if there's an animal that you have inside of your house, like for example, a cat, and they're constantly staring at the food that you're eating, if you don't mind giving something from your food, do that. If you have the rule that you don't give your cat your food, then give your cat the food that it can eat. Sometimes you're wearing something new, like maybe a nice hijab, a nice shawl, maybe a nice piece of jewelry, and maybe a friend is constantly looking at it. Give her the satisfaction of touching it. Give her the satisfaction of looking at it. Indulge her a little. Talk to her about it. Tell her about where you got it from. Yes, it's not nice to look at other people's things. It's not nice to be eager for what other people have. But it's also not nice to disregard people's feelings. That's not nice either. It's not nice to not have empathy. And also when you have to give something to others, okay, don't get annoyed over there. Oh, now these people have come and I have to give them something and that means I will have less. Don't get annoyed over there. You know what the Prophet ﷺ said about the weak? He said, "Indeed, your sustenance and aid is only given to you because of the weak among you." Subhanallah. فَإِنَّمَا تُرْزَقُونَ وَتُنصَرُونَ بِضُعَفَائِكُمْ. You are given help by Allah and you are given rizq by Allah. Why? Because of the weak among you. Which means that if they were not among you, perhaps you would not be given this rizq. So at the time of the division of the inheritance, don't just be greedy for what you're going to get now. No. Think about those in need. Think about those relatives who do not have a share. Give them something of your own volition. And the other thing is that if you don't give them anything and you leave them thirsty and greedy and drooling and you leave them just staring, it's possible that their feelings of jealousy might affect you with the evil eye. So shift their focus away from what is yours to what is now theirs, right? Like for example, if they're just standing at the door watching you remove things, you know, take things out of the closet. You know, for example, if a relative has died and you are emptying out the closets and you're bringing everything outside, and this person who doesn't have a share of the estate, they're just standing there watching and staring and looking at everything and commenting. And they're just getting, you know, eager for what you have, right? And maybe they're feeling jealous. You don't have to assume that about them. You don't have to think negative about them. But these feelings are there, right? So if they are, that would give, you know, shaitan the power to have an effect in that situation. So if you give that person something, like for example, you give them a chair to take with them, right? You say, "Okay, you can take this chair," right? Now they'll be so happy about the chair. They're looking at it. They sit on it. If it's upholstered, maybe, you know, they touch it, they feel it, and they start thinking about if they're going to reupholster it, if they're going to, you know, put it in their room or in their living room. Now they're thinking, their mind has shifted from what is yours to what is theirs, right? So this is how you protect what you have. Don't keep people jealous of you. Don't keep people drooling and greedy for what you have. And some people, subhanAllah, they get a lot of satisfaction by this, by knowing that others are jealous of them, by knowing that people are eager for what they have. And this is not a healthy way of living. This shows that you have no empathy. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضِعَافًا خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. And let those people fear injustice, as if they themselves had left weak offspring behind and feared for them. So let them fear Allah and speak words of appropriate justice. وَلْيَخْشَ should fear. Who should fear? الَّذِينَ people who? Which people? These are people who are the guardians of the orphans, okay, or the executor of the will, okay, people who are dividing the estate. These people should fear. Fear how? By imagining that لو تركوا, if they themselves were to leave, من خلفهم, behind them, ذرياً ضعافاً, children who are weak. يعني what if they died and they left behind their own weak children? Weak because they're young, or because maybe they're ill, or maybe they have some kind of disability, right? So they should think, خافوا عليهم, they would fear for them, right? Meaning they would be concerned about the welfare of their weak children. They would fear for their financial well-being, right? And if you were dying, leaving behind children who are young, who have some disability, you would want to make sure that they're well taken care of, that people don't take advantage of them. So now that you see a person dying, or they have died and they have left behind weak children, don't take advantage of those children. فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ, they should fear Allah. وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا, and they should speak words of appropriate justice. Now this ayah has several interpretations. Firstly, the ulama say that this is referring to the people who are present by the dying person who is making a will. Okay? So if you are present by a man or a woman who is dying, and this dying person is making a will, and let's say in their will, they are going to deprive an heir. They're going to be unfair towards their heirs. Right? We learn in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 182, فَمَنْ خَافَ مِنْ مُوسٍ جَنَفًا أَوْ إِثْمًا. If one fears from the bequeather some error or sin. Right? So you see that the dying person is making a will that is unfair. Like, for example, they say that, give a third of my wealth in charity, and the wealth is very little to begin with. Then the one who is present should say, don't do that. وَلْيَقُولُ قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا, they should say a good word, right? Like, they should say something like, maybe you should give a fourth of your wealth in charity, and not a third. A third is too much here. Or he should advise him in some other way, and prevent him from committing zulm, so he leaves a decent amount for his heirs. Like, for example, the Prophet ﷺ did. We learned that Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, when he became ill, and he was afraid that he was not going to survive, but he did survive eventually from that illness. He did survive that illness, but in that illness, he thought that he would not survive. The Prophet ﷺ came to visit him. And Sa'd radiallahu anhu asked him, that, O Messenger of Allah, I have a lot of wealth, and I only have my daughter as my heir. So should I give 2/3 of my wealth in charity? The Prophet ﷺ said, no. He said, should I give half? He said, no. He said, 1/3. He said, okay, you can give 1/3. But even 1/3 is a lot. It is better to leave your heirs independent of means than to leave them poor and holding out their hands to people. Sometimes, you know, when people become emotional, they feel very detached from the world, they make decisions which in the long term are detrimental to them and to others. So when a person is close to dying, they are feeling very detached from the world. They may say things like, give all of my wealth in charity. Give nothing to my son. He already has too much. Right? Or maybe, you know, because they are preparing for the akhirah, they think that they should give all of their wealth in charity or a lot of it in charity. It is very important to remind them at that time that they should be just. Right? And why? Because you want to make sure that the heirs are not deprived. And sometimes, subhanAllah, what happens is that a person is dying and people begin to advise them to make an unfair will, unjust will, subhanAllah. So this ayah is teaching such people that no, only advise what is just and fair, because in your greed, you might influence the dying person to make a will that, okay, favors you, but consider those who are being disadvantaged over here. The heirs, right? And even though these heirs may not be, you know, little children or weak children, but they have a legal share. And if there are children who are weak, or if there are children who have some kind of weakness on account of some health concern, and dhurriya doesn't just mean atfal, it doesn't just mean little children. Dhurriya is offspring. It can also mean adult children. So for example, there could be a son who has a job, but he has some kind of weakness. right? Because of which maybe he doesn't have a lot of money. Or maybe the nature of his job is such that it is not stable. He doesn't have a lot of money. So do not advise the dying person to make a will that deprives his heirs, whatever the scenario may be. Do not advise the dying person to make a will that will put any of the heirs at a disadvantage. All right? And if you see that the dying person is making a will that is unfair in one way or another, then what should you do? You should advise him. وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 182, فَمَنْ خَافَ مِنْ مُوسٍ جَنَفًا أَوْ إِثْمًا فَأَصْلَحَ بَيْنَهُمْ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ. And when you see that the bequeather is making a mistake or committing a sin, making a mistake, and he doesn't realize, for example, that the share of the daughter is half of that of the son, for instance. He doesn't realize that the daughter also has a share, right? Or he's committing a sin, and he deliberately wants to change the shares. Then don't just stand there watching. No. Fear Allah, وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Fear Allah and say a word that is correct. And if, let's say, the dying person is making a will that puts you at an advantage, but leaves his children at a disadvantage, put yourself in that situation. What if tomorrow it is your children who are being disadvantaged like this? And your children are too weak to stand up for themselves, to even know that they're being disadvantaged. Would you like that for your children? Never. So don't advise people to be unfair and deprive those who have a legal share. So this is one interpretation of the ayah. The second interpretation of this ayah is that it is actually addressing the guardians of the orphans. Okay? That what if you die and your children are orphaned and go in someone else's care? Would you want them to consume the wealth of your children? Would you want them to abuse your children, to neglect them, to beat them, to be harsh to them? Never. خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ. You would fear for them, and you would fear for the welfare of your children. So what does this mean? Treat the orphans in your care very good. Look after them. Teach them. Train them. Care for their property. Protect their property. Invest it. Just as you would want your children to be taken care of if they were to become orphan. You would fear for their safety. You would fear that someone would take their property, that someone would abuse them, would take advantage of them. So let this fear drive you to take good care of the orphans in your care. So, فَلْيَتَّقُ اللَّهَ. They should fear Allah in regard to the guardianship of the orphans. وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. And they should say a correct word. Yani, always be truthful. Don't change the facts in order to take advantage of the situation. So for example, if the orphan brings with him 1 million, for instance, don't change that to 10,000. Okay? وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Thirdly, this ayah is also addressed to the executors of the will. Yani, those who are distributing the estate, dividing the estate, that they should divide it fairly. And they should care about the heirs, okay, and the orphans, as they would want someone to take care of their children. And you wouldn't want someone to take what legally belongs to your children, right? So just like that, you are dividing the estate. Make sure that the orphans get what they deserve. Look out for them. So فَلْيَتَّقُ اللَّهَ. They should fear Allah. Why? Because you never know. You might be on the other side very soon. What if tomorrow you die and your children are orphaned? What would you want for your children? Provide them the same standard of care that you would want to be provided to your children. وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. And they should say قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Now, سَدِيد is from the root letter سِين دَال دَال. And سَدِيد is applied to a spear that does not miss the target. An arrow that does not miss the mark. And when you shoot it, it hits the mark. When you throw it, it hits the mark. Okay? This is sadid. And when the word sadid is applied to a word, a saying, it is a saying that is truthful, that is accurate. It hits the mark, as in it is completely truthful and accurate. So, وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. They should fear Allah in how they take care of the orphans and say what is just and fair. And another lesson in this ayah is that if you were to die today and leave weak children, basically the lesson in this ayah is put yourself in the shoes of the other person, right? Have empathy. The laws are there. Yes, they have to be followed, but don't forget to show empathy to people. And the ulama say that this ayah, among other verses, is proof that the piety of parents benefits their children. It is reflected in the lives of their children, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking out for the children of people who care about others, right? Because وَلْيَخْشَى, what does this mean? That you should be afraid right now in looking after the orphans in your care, because what if tomorrow your children are orphans in someone else's care? If you fear Allah in regard to the orphans in your care, then what's going to happen? If your children become orphan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى. Indeed, those people who devour the wealth of the orphans. Now an open, direct warning is given over here. The people who devour the wealth of the orphans, ظُلْمًا, unjustly. What are they doing? إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. Indeed, they're only consuming in their bellies fire. وَسَيَصْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا, and they will be burned in a blaze. Eating is mentioned over here. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ, they eat the wealth of the orphans. Because when someone eats something, it's gone. It's used up. And eating also depicts greed and selfishness. So those who consume the wealth of the orphans unjustly, this doesn't mean that only eating it is haram. You can wear it and you can sell it and you can pay your fees with it. No, that is also wrong. But eating is mentioned because eating depicts greed and selfishness and it shows complete consumption. Now, consuming the wealth of the orphan unjustly, this is actually of the 7 destructive sins. The Prophet ﷺ said, اجتنبوا السبع المبقات, avoid the 7 destructive sins. They asked, what are they? The Prophet ﷺ said, الشرك بالله, associating partners with Allah, والسحر, magic, وقتل النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق, killing an innocent person, وأكل الربا, and consuming orphan, وأكل مال اليتيم, and consuming the wealth of the orphan, والتولي يوم الزحف, and fleeing from the battlefield, وَقَذْفُ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ, and slandering chaste, believing, innocent women of zina and things like that. So among these sins, destructive sins, is what? Consuming the wealth of the orphan. And the Prophet ﷺ openly warned us. And he even warned certain individuals. We learn in a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said to Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, that, O Abu Dharr, I see that you are a weak man. And I love for you what I love for myself. Do not accept the position of a leader over 2 people even. And do not agree to be the guardian of an orphan's property. SubhanAllah. Why did the Prophet ﷺ say that to him? Because he said that I see that you are a weak man. I don't think you have that capacity to do this work fairly. And Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu did not get offended. He accepted his advice and he even narrated it. And this shows us that taking care of an orphan's wealth is a huge, huge responsibility. And it has to be taken seriously. And taking care of your own wealth is such a big responsibility. Taking care of an orphan's wealth, it requires a lot of skill, a lot of amana. Because remember, when it comes to the orphan's wealth, you don't just put it in a bank and let it sit and give zakat on it every year. No. What is the correct thing to do? You have to invest it. You have to trade with it so that it grows. So that by the time the orphan is old enough to take that wealth, it is a significant amount. He can stand on his feet. So this is a huge responsibility. It requires skill. So it is said to those who consume the wealth of the orphans, ظُلْمًا, unjustly. And ظُلْمًا is very important to notice over here because they're not consuming it by accident or ignorance. No. They're consuming it knowingly, deliberately, as israfan wa bidaran an yakbaru, right? As we learned earlier, excessively and quickly, so that, you can use it up before they become of age. So the wealth that they're consuming is actually fire. Right now, they enjoy, but in the hereafter, there is punishment for this consumption. This wealth that they're consuming will turn into fire on the Day of Judgment. And you see, يَأْكُلُونَ, when you eat something, where does it go? It goes in your stomach. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they're actually consuming fire in their bellies. Meaning right now it is food, but on the Day of Judgment, it will turn into fire. It will burn their insides. Like you eat something, it's in your stomach. So it will burn them from the inside. وَسَيَصْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا, and they will burn in the flaming fire. استغفر الله. سَيَصْلَوْنَ. الصَّلِي is قُرْب إِلَى النَّارِ, or دُخُول فِيهَا. It is to come close to the fire, or to actually go into the fire, to be in the fire. It doesn't mean to be set on fire. Like imagine if there is a building on fire and a person is inside. Are they set on fire? Not necessarily. They're not on fire. They're not burning necessarily. But they're very close to the fire. They're surrounded by its heat. And what's going to happen? Very quickly, their skin is going to feel the heat, right? Their lungs, all of that is going to feel the fire, the smoke. So, إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا, fire inside, وَسَيَصْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا, and they will enter the fire outside. They will burn on the inside and be exposed to the fire on the outside. There will be عذاب on the ظاهر and the باطن. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Yani, they will be in fire without being set on fire. And this is the reason why in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 56, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَوْفَ نُصْلِيهِمْ نَارَ كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا لِيَذُوقُ الْعَذَابِ. That every time their skins are roasted through, we will replace them with other skins so that they may taste the punishment. Yani they will not burn and turn to ashes. They will not completely burn down. No, they will nearly burn. And their skins will burn because of exposure. But then their skins will be replaced. And that cycle will repeat. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ اللَّهُمَّ أَجِرْنَا مِنَ النَّارِ. So this ayah teaches us that we should not be eager for the wealth of other people. And don't be greedy for what is not yours. And don't take it unjustly. Because while you may enjoy it right now, while you may have the satisfaction of having it right now, in the hereafter, it will be a source of punishment. It will be fire inside and outside. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and protect us.